Welcome back, 4 o'clock hour. Josh Bernier takes you away. Royals and Orioles coming up tonight at 6. He gets the on-deck show going at 5 o'clock. Spain wins 2-1, Rob. Their next match is against France on the 14th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Did the goalie change make the difference for Belgium? Would they have still been in it with the thing on the PKs, overtime than PKs?
I think Spain was the better team, but I do think the starting goalkeeper makes that play that led to the goal. But Spain was very deserving today.
So France and Spain advance and will play each other in a coming up on the 14th. The finals are the 19th for the third-place game. No, wait a minute. Third-place game is on the 18th. Okay, so that's the day before. And then the should they even do a third-place game, Rob? Or would you just skip it? I mean, guys are banged up and stuff. You know, a lot of players probably not going to play in that.
It depends on what country you are. Like, some countries take it more seriously than others. Like, I don't know, England will go all in for a third place match, but like, if the United States had gotten there, yes, it's different.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. You get there to the point where you want to win the golden boot. Jack Caglione. So, Vinny. Vinny's back with the Royals. Not in the lineup today, but he is with the team. He'll probably be playing tomorrow and Sunday. Vinny Pasquantino, that hamate bone injury with the hand, it's a fairly common injury with baseball players. It's kind of where the bat hits the palm of the hand. It's a very, but it's four, what did you say, 4 to 6 weeks usually with the hamate bone injury?
That's usually what they say, although there's usually a little delay of quality coming back from having it, but yes.
So is this too fast for Vinny coming back?
I agree with Vern. I think it's the right call to have Vinny come back at this timeline. Like, I think that's correct. I want him back with the team. You know, he's a leader, all those things. Like, you don't want your guy to just be sitting there watching because the season is lost. But I do wonder about his effectiveness coming back this early, because you'll remember he came back from the same injury very speedy in the postseason in 24 and was relatively ineffective. Now, he'll have more time to get back up to speed coming back in July versus October, but he does have a history of coming back from this injury fast, but not per se being great once returning.
And the one thing is, too, when you look at the Royals in the standings, there's only one team with fewer wins in Major League Baseball than the Royals. It's the Angels. With that being said, and that being the big picture, do you rush him back now or just say, all right, we'll just let this thing go till after the All-Star break?
So for me personally, and this is what I want to talk about, I think Vinny Pasquantino is your most coveted trade chip. Now, I don't know the Royals will trade him, but if you're the Royals, you have to get him back sooner rather than later, and you don't want to ease him back and then have him play poorly and then have maybe not a super negative, but a somewhat negative impact on his trade value. So I think this is the best case for Royals. He comes back, he plays well, you have a tradable asset in the offseason, or you decide to keep him and he'll be coming off a season that he struggled, but will then be healthy heading into 2027. So, like, his
timeline, an off-season type trade.
Off-season type trade. I agree with Vern. They need an off-season trade that's going to hurt. And I think Vinny Pasquantino's injury is return is of note, because he seems like one of those players that could potentially be moved this offseason.
Yeah, and again, speaking of Vinny, Vern, we had this earlier, but Vern did say this on a post-game show.
I laid it out earlier today on the On Deck show. I believe a difficult, painful trade needs to be made. Not at the deadline, though. I think that painful, uncomfortable, anxiety-ridden trade, a la the Will Myers, Jake Odorizzi trade from 13 years ago, one of those trades that when it happens, boy, you're hopeful, but you're also incredibly nervous that it's going to backfire. I think one of those trades needs to go down this offseason.
So, yeah, 100%. Do something that hurts. Makes your team better. Always do something that hurts. So, Keg, you're going to be locked into the Home Run Derby. It's ESPN had it for, what, 32 years? They don't have it this year. It's on Netflix. And they got the stars. They got the stars, bigger home run hitters in the game of baseball. Not all of them, but most of them are, you know, this is a nice field, let's put it that way. A very nice field for Home Run Derby.
I mean, it's left-hand power galore in this Home Run Derby between Harper, Schwarber, Kags. I'll be locked in. I mean, it's something to watch. I'm intrigued to see how many people watch it on Netflix. I'm not looking forward to Tuesday on the text line when people say they couldn't watch it because it's on Netflix, despite the fact it's very available, but whatever. I like that Major League Baseball is trying something different, and Netflix is going to make it more of a spectacle. So I will be watching, but I'm mostly curious how everything goes. And I'll be cheering for Cags, but you know, there's a lot of other stuff I'll be watching with that.
Well, Junior Kim Monero is going to be fun to watch. It's going to be an interesting watch. I think that's kind of a dark horse. I haven't seen the odds. You seen the odds on this?
I don't think they're out until the whole field's out.
But yeah. Junior Kim Monero would be certainly somebody. Ben Rice is in it. Jack's in it. Wilson Contreras, Jordan Walker, Bryce Harper, and now Kyle Schwarber. But keep this in mind, it's in Philadelphia. And I was there that night when Frazier won it in Cincinnati. That home crowd, man, they get behind you, and they give you that enthusiasm. And remember, with the Home Run Derby this year, there's no outs. So you get 20 swings, and that's it. In the first round, all eight participants take 20 swings. Four players with the most home runs advance to the semifinals. In the semifinals, the advancing four players are seeded and compete in head-to-head matchups. So they'll be head-to-head at this point. Not the first round. Semifinals, you become head-to-head. Hitters will get 15 swings each. And a round, I like this part, a round cannot end on a successful home run. If a player hits a home run or final swing, the 20th or the 15th, depending on the round, they're awarded extra swings and continue until a swing does not result in a home run. See, I like that part, Robbie. You hit that home run there at the end, and everything changes because you don't have to worry about that clock. You don't have to worry about speeding it. You're pitching in the world, speeding it in. You keep hitting home runs until you're done. How many guys are we going to see at the very end, like hit that last one and go on a run with four or five?
Why do they keep tinkering with the rules? Maybe this is just like old man yells at cloud take by me. When I was a kid, it was the 10 outs. I thought it was a good system. Or even the year that Salvador Perez took on Pete Alonso. I thought it was a good system. They over-tinker with this thing to the point where you have to have a rule book in front of you to know what's going on.
Yeah, no outs, so the pitch has got to be good. They got to swing at it. So if it's a crap pitch, they got to swing at it because, hey, there's no outs. Home run or no outs. The tie breaks in the first round are broken by the longest home run distance. The semifinals and finals, the head-to-head ties are decided by a three-swing-off. So they get three swings until a winner is determined. Jack's longest home run this year is 444. He's tied for the longest distance at 418 with hitters as far as what Jack's done. So 418 on an average distance of his home runs. You have that minimum of 10 home runs. He's done that. Talking about a guy that has the Florida record with 35 home runs in the season, once hit nine home runs in nine consecutive games at Florida. And I don't see how in the hell that was on almost a 500-foot shot he hit in Tampa. Do you remember the homer I'm talking about?
The one that basically I thought it was still flying.
I mean, that home run that he hit in Tampa hit the D-ring. They called it the D-ring because they got all that crap in the outfield there at Tampa. But he crushed that baseball. I don't see how in the hell that wasn't as long as home run ever.
By the way, speaking of Jack Caglione and the Home Run Derby Bank, you can head over to 95thefan.com right now to enter the Jacks contest. If you can predict how far the furthest home run Cags will hit is without going over, Price is Right rules. So, for example, if you head over to 95thefan.com, click the thing and put in your prediction of 490 feet, but his longest home run goes 49, you lose. You're disqualified. But head over for then because you have a chance to win 2 4-packs of tickets to two separate Royals games in the future on a mutually agreed upon date. So if you want some Royals tickets, head over to 95thefan.com, click on the Jacks contest, and guess how far the furthest home run Caglione will hit on Monday night is, and you have a chance to win.
And you would say what? I know you're not eligible to win.
501.
501?
It's hot.
I'm going to go 500. I'm going to go 502.
You also got to be smart here. You can't go too high. You can't like 575. You're lose.
You lose.
You can't. So lower is better. So if you're thinking like, oh, I think he's going to hit one 507, play it smart. Bet something like 505 and you stay in the fight.
Now I know that 444 is as long as measured during StatCast during season. But again, these are going to be meatballs exactly where he wants them.
Junior out with the sore knee. And now Caglione. Wow. Where will that land? How about in the catwalk? That is a Caglione jack. He almost hit it out of the stadium.
That sucked, man. Because that thing was, I don't know where that thing ends up. Yeah, Adam Dunn once hit on the Ohio River and there in Cincinnati, landed on a barge. And the barge kept going down the river, but, you know, they don't measure where the barge
is. Yeah, they shouldn't measure the barge still moving.
No. Coming up next, what pro athletes do you fear the most? Like, what's the one guy you hate to see? And kind of comparing Mahomes and Messi and these clutch players at the end and why it's so important to have them.
You're listening to The Drive with prominent Mizzou fan Carrington Harrison.
I support Kansas. I want Kansas to win.
On 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Rob Brennan. I read that wrong, Rob. So it's 20 swings. So you can have a pitcher. The worst thing is when the pitcher can't get over the plate. You know, there's three or four bad balls or whatever. I do think you should have a limit on those. Limit, at least you have to swing within three, right? You can't be taking, you know, to get that perfect pitch. Do you agree with that? Three swings and you got to hit it? It's not a rule, but again, swings, I said you had to swing at everything. That's not true.
I mean, if you can't throw BP over the plate, what are we doing?
Yeah, I know. So I saw that and I was like, okay. Did you see it broke right about when we came on, Jeff Passan tweeting out that rookie standout J.J. Weatherholt and the Cardinals in agreement on a long-term contract extension that will buy out multiple years of free agency. Weatherholt gets that contract, a nine-figure contract. I haven't seen the contract details on J.J. Weatherholt, but the Cardinals, like the rookie, they make the decision, hey, let's sign him long-term and go. You surprised about that?
I mean, no, that is becoming a norm in baseball. Who was the player in Pittsburgh? Not Skeens, but the position player who got a similar contract. Just, hey, you're good. You're young. Congrats. You're on the team for the foreseeable future. We're not going to mess around with, you know, arbitration, all those things. And I also think these people are trying to race to get these things done. Connor Griffin, yes. They're also racing to get these things done ahead of the next CBA, would be also my guess, too.
Interesting stuff. So, Pete Alonso had some nice things to say about Jack. Joel Goldberg interviewed him there in Baltimore because he went to the same high school as Jack. Said he'll hit him all over the place. He's the perfect guy for the spot. What pro athletes do you fear the most? And I bring this up because when you watch Messi and you don't want his team to win, you want the other team to win, but yet he's on the other team. And even if you have the dreaded 2-0 lead in a game, I don't care what game it is, soccer, whatever, 2-0 leads never stand up. It's a horrible place to be at 2-0 because they always falter. Look at the Royals. They're down 2-0 all the time and come back and take a big lead at that point. But 2-0 leads are never good in sports. But having Messi on the other side, and you're sitting there going, man, we're not going to chill. We're not going to have that extra beer right now. We're not going to celebrate because Messi is over on that other sideline. And I got me thinking of Mahomes. And the interview I had with the Denver Broncos, or sideline reporter, back in 18, I think, we're talking about Mahomes. He says, well, the bad news is Denver's going to have to deal with Mahomes for the next decade or more, which is true because I grew up in an era where you didn't want to see Elway, you know, get the football with a minute and a half left. You didn't celebrate it. Hell, I've even seen Phillip Rivers do that with the Chargers and the Chiefs. You give him a minute and a half and give him two timeouts, and like, man, what's he going to do at the end of the game? Some guys got it and some guys don't. Like the playoffs this last year, Trevor Lawrence got the ball back with a minute and a half left in that game where he threw the pick at the end of the game in the playoffs. But Trevor Lawrence did that, and they said to get in field goal range. Their kicker had the longest field goal in NFL history. They didn't have to go far, but he melted down at the end of the game. Some guys have it, some guys don't. Mahomes has it. Only five games in the regular season, Mahomes has lost by more than one touchdown, meaning he's always in the game. And even last year when they had a miserable season, they had to lose by three, lose another game by three, lose by six. They just don't get blown out, knock on wood. They don't do it. They're always in the game. And having him over on that other sideline, I was just thinking about that game with Buffalo there, thinking, man, can they imagine giving Mahomes that much time at the end of a game and a timeout and a kicker with the longest field goal? And obviously, Butker's had his runs and stuff as well with the Chiefs, but can you imagine being in a situation where you have that? So my guy, and this is what I said last night, Rob, the guy that brings it to me is the guy that has a winning record against Mahomes, barely, just one game. They're tied 1-1 in the playoffs, but regular season he's up 2-1 on him, and that's Joe Burrow. I know he's always hurt and all that, but there's something about when Joe Burrow has time on the clock I don't want to see, especially with Ja'Marr Chase in his huddle there. On offense, that's the one situation I don't want to see. So I said Burrow, despite the fact I hate the Bengals.
So Burrow's your number one. Oh, we're putting Mahomes to the side because he's just.
Well, I can't do Mahomes. Oh, the player, if you're rooting for the Chiefs, okay, or you're a Chiefs fan, what's the player you don't want to see? That's why I took Mahomes out of the equation. Had I been in Denver and been a Broncos fan or whatever, I'd say Mahomes, clearly.
I feel like after watching this World Cup, the answer might be Mbappe.
That's fair. Anything's fair.
He is inevitable. I was watching. I mean, now soccer's different because there isn't like the game's on the line, go make a play like basketball or football because the clock's winding down. But it just feels like when that guy's on the field, he's going to do something that leads to scoring for his team. And you watch these matches, and this is the World Cup. This is the highest of the highs for soccer. And he's just making play after play after play. There are a lot of players fit into this category, but I mean, just Mbappe's speed and pace and the fact that he's now the second all-time leading goal scorer in knockout round games. And he's like 25 years old. I think he has to be in consideration. Burrow definitely was that. Burrow in college just definitely 100% was that. I don't know outside of Burrow and Mahomes. I mean, I guess Brady was that forever. If Brady had the ball 2 minutes left, you knew the game was over. You lose. You can go ahead and get to your car. It's over. Is there another quarterback?
Aaron Rodgers has been like that too.
Yeah, he's not that anymore. Is there another quarterback other than those guys in the NFL? I mean, again, Mahomes is no doubt. Is there
Josh Allen? You're waiting for that mistake.
I think Josh Allen, the regular season's that guy.
Yeah, in the postseason, it was 59 seconds were left when Trevor Lawrence threw that pick. They still had a timeout, I believe, as well, but he threw that pick. First and 10, Jacksonville 23, threw that. It was picked off. It was picked off by Bishop at Jacksonville's 37. So he had his opportunity at home and he missed up on the opportunity. But I think the text line now, and they said it last night as well, Bumgarner was that way.
Bumgarner's that way against the Royals. Like,
if he
looked mortal against other people. I mean, not
sometimes.
Sometimes
yeah. He's very good. But the one thing about Bumgarner is when that gate opened and he was coming into that game 7, like what? They waited, right? Waited to bring him in. And then when the Grim Reaper walked in, I know Mahomes has been called the Grim Reaper, but that's what Bumgarner was to the Royals at that point. What did you think when the door opened and he comes out to the game? You're like, oh, crap.
I was at game 7. I was in the stands.
Yeah.
Too. And I'm trying to remember where my seats were. Because they've changed where the bullpens are a couple different times at Kauffman. So I can't remember if he was a far bullpen. I was sitting in right field up in the upper tank. And I remember they opened that gates and Bumgarner was coming out. There was just this sinking feeling that hit my section of, oh, no, not him. Because it felt like they were going to get to the pitcher. The Royals were battling. They were in the bullpen. You felt like they got him. And then just, oh, here comes Bumgarner. And they had a chance to get him. They had Omar Infante had an at-bat with two outs, chance to scratch across a run, but when that didn't come, you're still like, oh, no. He's just inevitable, and you were kept watching his pitch count. Like, how many does he have in him? It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, when he walked that door, it's like, text line also said Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams had some fantastic finishes, but he hadn't won the title yet. I don't know if you can get into the feared category if you hadn't won it, and neither is Burrow. Burrow's been to the Super Bowl, but he's never won it. He's won a national title. Give him that. He's won the national title at LSU, but he hadn't had it there too. But at the end of the game, that's definitely somebody that I don't want to see. But yeah, Caleb would be there.
Someone says Tiger on Sundays in his prime.
Yeah, because how many guys would melt down if they had a 4-stroke league on Tiger on Sundays? They just did. They just melt down. Whenever he is the other guy, and I've seen people melt down with Scheffler. Like you're playing that final group with Scheffler on a Sunday, and you're thinking, oh man, I'm playing against world's number one. I can't make mistakes. I can't hit in the sand. I can't hit in the rough. You know, I got to watch and see what he's doing. I think Tiger definitely struck fear in a lot of his opponents. They would all melt down on Sunday against him.
I haven't done the research, but I feel like Tiger played well on Sunday, but all he had to do was play like one under or even or maybe two under par, and everyone else just folded like a cheap tent around him. It's crazy to watch.
But there's always those guys that you're watching in sports with your favorite teams or whatever, and just, man, I guarantee Mahomes has got that point. And you get that point and it was one. I remember Vern, a long time ago, we did a show together. He had some audio of Favre and Rodgers talking on one of the podcasts. It's back in like 2012, something like that. And they were talking about getting to that point where you know there's fear on the other sideline when you're stepping over that line to come out on the field. Just like, you know, that 13-second game with Mahomes tying up the Bills. You know, Andy Reid's, you know, when it's grim, be the Grim Reaper. And he comes out there and does it in 13 seconds. That's why when you've seen him do that in 13 seconds, all these doubts come in your mind. all these doubts cloud the Buffalo Bills' minds because they can't get that game off their – they can't forget about that game. And I think that game would have lived in a lot more lore in Kansas City had they beaten the Bengals the following week and gone to the Super Bowl. I think we'd have seen Grim Reapers out at the stadium all the time. I think it kind of lost its luster. But, man, that game is just the ultimate when he had 13 seconds and you think all hope is lost. I was doing the post game at that point, and you just tear up your script. You know, you have things you want to talk about, and you just throw them out the window because – You're right there on the edge, Rob. We talk about the season. Well, it's a season of success or failure, and you start looking forward to the next year, and then you get the AFC title game to talk about. So things change. Who's that guy that just changes the script with you that close? I guess Messi would be that way too.
I mean, he literally do that against Egypt. Like, literally just that. He had a goal and an assist in 10 minutes that tied the game against Egypt, then led to them winning in regulation.
Wonder what it is about certain guys at certain clutch points. Like, either have that clutch gene or you don't. It's really weird in sports because we see it all the time. Guys either have it or they don't. You know, Aaron Judge dominates through the regular season. Get in the postseason, can you get that big hit from him? Do you fear him when he comes to the plate? I don't know, man. The fear factor. 913 says Mike Tyson in his heyday when he'd walk in. Yeah, I mean, when you see Iron Mike walk out there to the ring, you knew what was going to happen. The ending was going to be inevitable of what you were going to see in his heyday, and that was one of those guys you always feared. Text line 913 says John Elway, one of those guys. With you on that, or Montana Magic. But, yeah, John Elway was a guy I hated to see. Like, I despise seeing John Elway at the end of the game if you left him too much time because you're looking at the clock, wanting to see are the Chiefs going to work the clock and bring it down. And it's all these teams. You see them celebrate at the end. You see a team celebrating the touchdown, getting all excited, you know, a minute still on the clock, and you forget who that other quarterback is. You see it time in, time out in the NFL. You're sitting there and watching Sunday Ticket, and you're watching different games come down to the end. And, you know, a team – I always like the team that there's a little bit of doubt. When they score that touchdown, you know, the quarterback still has the helmet on, chin strap still on because he just knows who that other quarterback is on the other sideline. It's not over. Like, you don't celebrate too early because you know Mahomes is going to have his chance to come out there and win the game because that's what he does in his history. He keeps games close, and he wins them. It's definitely tough when you get to that point. Terry and Arnold, 2024 first-round pick, Rob, does not have to wear the GPS monitoring device on his leg when he's going to be trying out for different teams. Now, a host of teams did show some interest. I think the Jets were one. Houston was one.
He did a physical for Houston today, according to Adam Schefter.
But Houston did a physical with Terrion Arnold. Again, first-round pick in 2024. Load of trouble. Should the Chiefs have interest in Terrion Arnold? I would say definitively no. They don't need that. That's the last thing they need.
I agree that's a no. I'm with you. It's a no on Terrion Arnold.
Hell of a talent.
I'm actually surprised, and we were talking about this in the back office, and I'm curious – you're not surprised NFL teams are sniffing around. I mean, what he is accused of, while it is a crime that is his own fault and his own stupidity got him caught, like all the things, are you surprised NFL teams are still sniffing around? Like, he has a court case pending and could be spending time in jail for what he did.
I get it. I'll tell you this much, too. If Henry Ruggs was released, you know how many teams would probably try him out? See what he still has? I know he came close to parole there for a while, didn't he? But he didn't. I believe he got denied.
He denied it. He had a parole hearing.
But teams, it depends if you have a strong culture. Like, if you have a strong culture and you can bring somebody in your locker room and you don't care, it's kind of like Brandon Ayuk. Like, that's another guy. Yes, the Chiefs culture is strong. You bring him in here, and it's a very, very strong culture. But there's some guys you just back away from. You try. You don't need the headache. You don't need the press clippings. You just don't need it. Some teams need to back away from it, but some teams see themselves on the brink. And again, it's the NFL. They will look the other way. If Terrion Arnold's 29 or 30, big difference. But being 24, first round pick, I think NFL teams would still be interested. That's all. That's the only reason I say that, Rob.
I'm also surprised at the teams. Like the Jets, okay. High risk, high reward, but you're the Jets. Take the shot. Your season is lost. If you find a first round talent,
next year.
Yeah, see what happens. I'm surprised the Texans are one of the teams. Like, why are the Texans sniffing around Terry and Arnold?
With that defense they have already now.
Yeah, I mean, like They don't need him. Their defense is already incredible. They have a strong culture. You're going to bring that into the fold, or you're at least kicking the tires on that. I understand what you're saying. Talent always wins out in the NFL. I'm just considering his crime was just, I mean, it was kidnapping and all the things he's alleged of.
I mean, that's,
but it was it was just his own stupidity. Why are you signing up for that? Why are you even opening yourself up for that opportunity? It's just puzzling to me.
And that can really hurt your culture. Again, you have to have a very strong culture. There's very, very few teams that could deal with stuff like that. Obviously, the Patriots, when they had Brady and stuff there, because nobody was going to be bigger than Tom Brady.
But Brown didn't work there. Antonio Brown. He didn't work in Tampa. And Brady was culture king, and it still didn't work.
It was Brady talking about the prima donna wide receivers. Talking about it being the married housewives of the NFL, dealing with wide receivers. I don't know. You have to have extremely strong culture, and you got to be that one player away. You got to be that in a total desperation move to do something like that. But I do think what helps him is 24 first-round pick. If he was, drafted in the first round 2019, I don't think we're having the discussion. Then you got to be really desperate if that's what you're doing. But the fact it was just 2 years ago, Rob, you know these GMs, man, they want to save their job. So they're willing to bring in anybody and everybody.
Yeah, I'm apologize for interrupting. I'm not saying that's not the case. But does being the GM who brings Terry and Arnold in, who's in an active court case, is that a job saver? If you're the Jets, we'll use them as an example. Hey, you're trying to rebuild, reload, suck for Arch, whatever, the little, awful for Arch, whatever. You have all these draft picks from Sauce Gardner. You have all these draft picks from Quinyon Williams. You have a bounty of picks, and you're going to turn around and say, hey, I'm going to rebuild this roster. Trust me, trust me, trust me. Oh, also, I'm bringing Terrion Arnold in. Doesn't that actually eliminate any goodwill as a GM?
Yeah, you would think he'd back it away, especially a team like that that has a great opportunity to suck and get a good quarterback that they need in the NFL draft. That's, something you might want to back away from. But no, I'm not shocked that NFL teams take chances at players. The Tyreek Hill deal's different because that's an injury, and he's an over 30-year receiver. He's over 30 years old, so there's a lot of teams worried about that. But do I think he'll end up on a team this year? I do. I think Kansas City's heavily in those odds. I do, but I don't think I do think he plays in the NFL this year.
Tyreek Hill, you said?
Yeah, Tyreek Hill.
Oh, he'll be in the NFL. I don't think he'll be in the NFL until like the trade deadline October.
Yeah,
I think his health's a major question. I think people are underselling how big of an injury he had.
816 says, how about you guys quit talking about a player that has been arrested and charged with significant crime? You guys are normalizing. We're not normalizing anything. We're just saying what NFL teams would do. I'd back away from it. I wouldn't have anything to do with it. But try to normalize NFL teams because they do take chances on people.
This is unrelated to Terrion Arnold, but maybe in that same vein. We're about 2 weeks away from camp. You think the Chiefs are going to add a veteran to one of the three rooms? I mean, their secondary is very young. Don't get me wrong. They have plenty of talent.
They'd bring Sneed's that role.
Sneed's that guy. Do you think they're going to bring veteran talent to edge rush or receiver? Because those are the two positions that could use that, quote, veteran in the room.
I think they missed their opportunity with Cam there. Wide receiver, I don't know, man. Who are you really going to get at this point? Who's the difference maker that you're saying this veteran can right now? And you got Cyrus, and you still got Jalen Royals. Again, I'm team wide receiver and bringing him in. You know how much I wanted Keenan Allen last year. Not necessarily, banging the drums.
You're not on Keenan this year?
No. Last year, yes. He was very productive. He was decent. He would have done well in this offense last year. I do think Keenan would have been a guy to bring in last year. He played, stayed healthy, put up numbers for the Chargers, but I'd back away from it. But no, I don't feel the Chiefs bring in a veteran wide receiver or a defensive back. I think they're pretty much done, Rob. Am I wrong here? Do you think they're bringing somebody in? Because I don't see them doing it.
I think they will bring someone in once preseason is over. It's like the surprise, not surprise, like it's a star name, but a guy who, Carlos Dunlap type. Hey, okay. Carlos Dunlap gets cut on August 29th. The Chiefs sign him on September 1st, and he's on the roster heading into week one. He's not a guy that you're like, oh man, can you believe they got him? But it's a veteran name, and I'm not suggesting literally Carlos Dunlap text line, but that's kind of what happened. A veteran type. That's what I imagine will happen. But like Juju a couple of years ago when he got cut by the Patriots, I imagine that kind of addition is coming to the Chiefs before the regular season, but it won't happen until after the preseason.
Now, would I be opposed to a Joey Bosa who's, considering
He's considering retirement.
Yeah, he's considering retirement at this point. Would that be a guy that you put in your rotation? Just bring him in? Or you like the young pass rushers? I don't know. I think they pretty much stay with what they have. Again, the teams are built in the offseason. They're built in the free agency period in the draft. I mean, it's 100%. You're going to bring somebody in. You always look back to what did you do in March, April, and May? What did you do in those months? Did you bring a free agent in? Did you draft somebody that can help the team? Yeah, you can add pieces and stuff when you get to trade deadline or whatever, but your team is built in the months previous to what we have now. Coming up next, though, we play the hits because Vernon comes on at 5 o'clock. Talk to you in a minute.
The Drive is always streaming live on our YouTube channel.
If you're a bad sipper, that's okay. You're all right. I'm not here to judge you for that.
Just search for 965 The Fan.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, Carrington back on Monday. For now, the sun's back out. We had a monsoon for about 3 minutes, and now it's gone. But the sun is out. Now it's time to play an abbreviated version of the hits because Vern next.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Think the hits are brought to you by Jungle Law. Call the lawman today, 816-816-9111. If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident, it's time to call the lawman. And be sure to watch the lawman get roasted for a good cause Saturday, August 1st at the historic Uptown Theater. Well, Bink, you know, a man who was invited to Travis Kelce's wedding also was invited to be on his podcast earlier this week. Tom Brady, he was talking about how wide receivers, the more things change, the more they still say the same.
When I see these NFL off seasons, I think, I swear to God, I think now, like, this is just deja vu. I've been seeing the same since 2000 when I came into the league. You know, this guy goes, gets, you know, this guy gets in trouble. He's arrested. This guy gets cut. This guy gets traded. This guy's unhappy at receiver. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like Real Housewives of the NFL. And it's like, it's the same script. And it's like over. And we just, that position, it's like, I almost want to, like, the psychology of receiver, I almost want to say, like, you're going to catch 110 balls this year. Okay. You're 17 games. You're a great receiver. You're going to catch 110 balls. One game, you're going to get 11. And one game, you're going to get 3. And the next game, you're probably going to get 11. Then you're going to get 3. I can't have you like the happiest guy in the world when you catch 11 or the most miserable guy on the team when you catch 3. We got to look at it over the course of the year. You got to sustain because it is a lot of emotional energy that you put out to that position to go, come on, come on. We got to come on. Stay locked in. Let's go because I need you. Come on. And it's like that position takes away if you have that volatile emotional output. It takes a lot of energy from a lot of people to keep that player really stable. So you got to like try to reframe it for them and just say, listen, like you may get 3, but you're going to get 11 and or you might get 11, 11, 11. And then, you know, 3, 3. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
If they're doubling Travis, you ain't touching the ball. That's the reality. If they're butching you at the line of scrimmage but with the defensive end and they've got, you know, some ridiculous athlete over the top of you, you ain't. But it frees it up for other people.
Exactly.
And you got to be cool with that.
Think it's, he said, the more things change, the more they say the same. But in Kansas City, at least as of now, they don't have any prima donna diva wide receivers. Are you surprised by Tom Brady's comments? And are you happy that maybe the Chiefs have avoided this pitfall that Brady says exists all across the NFL?
Yeah, you just have to be careful. Certain guys, and the one good thing about the Chiefs are you walk into that locker room and you got Patrick Mahomes there. You know, you have established guys that are number one in the NFL and Creed Humphrey at the position and Trey Smith, and you got Travis Kelce, Hall of Famers everywhere. Your head coach is a Hall of Famer. But, yeah, I'm glad the kind of Chiefs have kind of backed away from prima donnas or when it's about ready to really start and call on your agent about not getting enough catches that you quickly jettison said player for more draft picks like they've done in the past. But the quarterback role is so much different now. It's a babysitter. It's like playing backyard football. You've all heard it. You've gone into the huddle and someone's always open. Someone's always open. They're not, but they're always saying they're open. Hey, I can beat this man. Just throw me. I'll do the slant again. Just hit me on that. And you forget about all the other players that are playing as well. But the player, you can always tell at the end of a game. Like if someone has only like 2 or 3 catches or, you know, 20 yards rushing or whatever, and they're kind of, you know, down after the game, but they won the game. Like, the most important thing is to actually win the game. And I think that it gets lost in the shuffle at some points. Rob, thanks for you producing the operation. Thanks to Josh Vernier joining us for his weekly segment. Josh Vernier comes your way next as the Royals in Baltimore.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.